Welcome to This Is Going Well, I Think, with David Cooper. I am David Cooper. It's This Is Going Well, I Think, the show where no one's listening, no one cares, the show where every episode's the last episode, and today, no different, our last episode. And what a great one it is going to be. In about 10 minutes, comedian Natasha Vinnick from San Francisco is going to tell us about having no love, no prospects, no job, and no podcast is continuing to weigh her down. We'll talk about how difficult it is out there to find a job, especially in the tech industry. And this one hits close to home for me. Because if, as my mother calls it, this radio hobby thing that I do doesn't work out, I'm going to have to go groveling back to the tech industry to find a job to pay my rent. After that, it's everything to do with Sasquatch and Bigfoot. That's right, the producer and creator of a TV show called Sasquatch University is going to join us to tell you what we already know. That Sasquatch is real and coming for ya. Jokes aside, I'll be honest, I'm a bit of a skeptic. So we'll see how him and I get along. But before that, we got animals, 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 rat birth control, using falcons to prevent poop on the sidewalk, and all-you-can-eat shrimp gone wrong. But first, this. Ah, yes, New York, the Big Apple, the city that never sleeps. I have some news for you from there. It's not about a new bagel shop. New York is taking on its least favorite residents. No, not the tourists. Rats. The city is launching a new campaign, this time with birth control for rats. Yes, the city's next frontier in the never-ending war against these furry freeloaders is birth control. Will they have options? Condoms? IUDs? Contraceptives? That I don't know. But imagine this, after years of poison, traps, and I kid you not, rat academies, New York's solution to the rat rampage is salty pellets that function as rat birth control. They've piloted this in two neighborhoods to test it out, and if it doesn't work, I'm assuming they'll just hang up their hats and let the rats win. Now, New York City Council that's funding the project claims this round of rat death is going to be more effective than other tries. They really have thrown everything, including the kitchen sink, at these critters. Well, actually, maybe they didn't throw the kitchen sink. Because the kitchen sink might actually hit one, and that apparently is too much hope for this city. This was actually tried before. In 1967, they tried contraceptive meatballs. Sounds delicious. Were they lady in tramping these things? That I don't know. But the rats don't remember this either, because they kept on breeding, creating a huge problem for the city that persists, sort of like whack-a-mole, but every mole looks suspiciously like a rat and nobody ever wins. And in case you're wondering, what if little Fufu eats a rat pellet? Will my dog get sick? Well, no. They're claiming these contraceptives won't kill wildlife. That's right, no more poisoned wildlife, no innocent bystanders. Because you might remember poor Flocko, the New York Central Park runaway owl, who finally met his match hitting a building, but an autopsy showed that he had a life-threatening amount of rat poison and a dash of pigeon virus in his system. Now, this isn't the only rat mitigation effort here in New York, because the city's finally modernized its trash collection. No more heaping bags of trash. Most cities have bins. New York is finally forcing buildings to have garbage bins, so we won't see bags lined up on the sidewalk. Despite that being a beautiful sight to bear, Mayor Eric Adams has even appointed a rat czar. I mean, come on, who needs a king or a queen when you got a czar of rats? But to wrap it up, I'll believe it when I see it. If this plan actually succeeds, I might even think that the MTA will start running subways on time. So as we wait to see if New York City can finally win its battle against the rats, let's hope Remy the Young Rat isn't planning its next big move with the rest of the rats in a war room under the city. Ah, rats. In other animal-related news, we go to Detroit to something that's a feather in our cap, or maybe a feather in our crap. As we gear up for the 2024 NFL Draft, it's not just the athletes who are getting ready to show off their skills. That's right, meet Cersei and Yahtzee, the most unlikely MVPs of this event. No, they're not linebackers, they're not even people, but they have the most important defense job out there, poop control. These are not your ordinary pest control agents. They are birds of prey. That's right, downtown Detroit has turned to some high-flying talent to tackle on an issue that's a bit more, well, down to earth. Keeping the city's sidewalks free of, let's call it, unwanted decorations. Or shit. Cersei and Yahtzee work for a company hilariously named Scare Force Falconry. Gets me every time, Scare Force Falconry. Then I guess you could say when it comes to scaring off those pesky pigeons, it's not their first rodeo, but it is their first NFL draft. And folks in Detroit, your feathered guards are not just here for the draft. They'll be swooping along for months after it all ends, ensuring that the city's architectural wonders remain unsplattered. It's a dirty job, but someone, or some bird, has to do it. Someone who works at the Falconry Company says the perk of the job is interacting with the people of Detroit. I imagine it's a bit of a hoot to see their reactions to these birds who are essentially bouncers at a pigeon nightclub. Really rough ones at that. So as Detroit welcomes the NFL draft to its city, let's give a winged salute to their special team in the sky. Because let's face it, in Detroit, even bird control is more hardcore than your average city sports fans. So if you're out there, keep your eyes on the skies. Maybe cover your heads, just to be safe. And in seafood news, I'll dish out something that's a bit fishy, if you ask me. Maybe shrimpy. Red Lobster, the seafood chain, known for making us ask the question, how many shrimp can one person actually eat? It seems there, and it's actually named this, Ultimate Endless Shrimp Promotion, might have been a little bit too endless. They might have bit off more shrimp tails than they could chew because it led to a staggering $11 million in losses last year. Who knew that generosity could cost you an arm and a shrimp? On the advice of their lawyers, Red Lobster is now considering filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. This move might let them keep their doors open while they try to untangle their financial nets. Get it? Because fishing nets and shrimp, and are shrimp even caught in nets? I don't know. But recently, Red Lobster has brought in a new CEO, and he's the kind of guy you might call when you're up Shrimp Creek without a paddle. He's been around the block. This guy has previously helped other food and restaurant chains through their financial indigestions. I mean, troubles. Now, if your idea of a successful business is one that doesn't lose millions from giving away too much shrimp, then Red Lobster's strategy might seem a bit off. They turned a limited-time offer into a permanent menu fixture last June, and then suddenly, they're the Titanic of all-you-can-eat shrimp boats, sinking under the weight of their own bounty. I get it was a popular item, but shrimp's expensive, and people like shrimp! So as Red Lobster flounders, the rest of us are left wondering if there's such a thing as too much of a good thing. Personally, I always thought the only good things you shouldn't overdo were cologne, garlic, and masturbating, but now I guess we can add shrimp to that list. That's all on this one. Remember, folks, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. And when life gives you endless shrimp, put the lemon on the shrimp, because that stuff tastes delicious. You know, I really like being miserable. It's my favorite way to be. I'm only my happiest when I'm miserable. It's a vicious cycle. Last week she was on complaining about the 4,000 things she hates about her ex. This week we're going to commiserate what it's like not having a job in this economy. So you can look forward to comedian Natasha Vinnick in just a moment. Comedian. Housewife, pilot, some of those things Natasha Vinnick is. Welcome.
All of them.
Housewife and pilot. You're a stay-at-home mom and you fly seven 507s or something. I don't know.
Our home is in a plane.
Wow. That sounds, I don't know, turbulent. You were mentioning your period before I started rolling.
Yeah, I'm on it. And it ruins my brain. It ruins my brain.
And you get that about once a month?
Yeah. Like most people with periods do.
Wild.
Yeah.
You were going to say most women, and then you got the liberal guilt. You're like, oh,
I know.
No,
I remember
people.
The rules. I'm like, no, we can all. Some of us can, some of us can't, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it ruins me. It gets me really, really bad. And then it's really rough being in like a relationship with it where you're like, oh, I'm going to be crazy to a person that I love. That's a bummer, you know?
Yeah. My ex had really bad premenstrual syndrome. Do you even call that anymore? Or is that out of date?
Yeah, we call it that. We can use PMS still.
But I couldn't be like, when she was about, she'd be like, I'm getting my period. And then we get in a brutal fight. And then I couldn't say it. And then afterwards, she's like, you know, that fight was because of PMS. I'm like, yeah, I know. But if I were to say that, first of all, I'd be a dickhead. Second of all, it would create a huge fight.
Yeah, isn't that so funny? Those rules are so funny. You can't mention it, even though you know the secret, you know the rule.
Well, I feel like 99% of world leaders are men. We get paid more on the dollar. The least we could do is not say it even when it's true.
I agree. I think that's kind of you.
You're welcome.
I dated a guy briefly who thought, he said to me, I mentioned PMS that I have it and that I get sensitive during it. And he said, oh, I thought that was just a thing from the 90s.
I mean, it was talked about a lot in the 90s.
I feel like it was like a punchline when men would just be like, ah, she's PMSing, you know? But we've had PMS for a long time, actually.
That's true, since at least the 80s.
Yeah, and we still have it.
The 90s, what an era. Rob Schneider was everywhere in the 90s. Where's Rob Schneider? What's going on with Rob Schneider? I haven't heard
He
from him
did.
in 30 years.
No, trust me. He was somewhere doing voice acting for a terrible film, kids' film called Norm of the North.
But you know what I
He's
mean?
an
Like,
animated polar bear.
that's not the Rob Schneider of the 90s who was in Home Alone,
No, it's not.
Seinfeld,
It's a very bad film.
everywhere he was.
I know, not anymore. He's nowhere, just like PMS. He's the same.
He's disappeared. He's nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
And he just shows up
Wow, I
once a
didn't know
month
Rob
and gets
Schneider and
really angry.
PMS. He does. And you're like, hey, Rob, get out of here.
What did he do? Why did he do? He was so hot. It was like pesto. Everyone was talking about pesto in the 90s. I only know that from Seinfeld.
Oh, is that like a bit?
Yeah, it's a bit. George is really mad because pesto hit a real craze in the 90s. I mean, pesto's good, but I don't, it's not something I talk about every day. In the 90s, apparently, everyone talked about it every day.
I'm eager for pesto, but it's because I'm allergic to most pesto.
Which pestos are you not? Isn't there just one with basil and pine nuts and
Sometimes
olive oil?
they do it with no pine nuts. Sometimes you can find a nut-free pesto.
I make mine with walnuts. Would that kill you? All nuts kill you or just certain
Yes,
nuts? All nuts.
all the nuts, all the
But aren't
nuts.
some nuts really not nuts? Like bananas, aren't they nuts or something? Because they kind of grow like.
Bananas are not nuts, actually. Bananas are fruits.
So you can have a banana. But there's things that aren't, you know, like cabbage is.
Peanuts.
Are they not nuts?
They're legumes, but I'm allergic to a lot of legumes
Oh,
too.
well, that sucks.
Yeah,
Have you
it
ever had nuts or you've always been allergic? Allergic.
I have always been allergic, and I have had them so many times on accident.
And your face and throat just swell up and you go to the
Everything
hospital.
closes up. I puke a lot. I have to keep an EpiPen with me at all times.
God, you're so easy to
You
murder.
know.
Sorry, that seemed more violent than.
No, I am though. I am though.
You should be proud that you just
People should
made
be
it
more
this far.
concerned. Yeah, no one is though. They're like, I don't care. You're still not functional at 34, you know?
You should be like, the world is
No
trying to
one
kill
cares.
me at every minute, and I'm here today. That should be enough.
Thank you so much. I agree. I agree completely.
Is it fun almost dying when you eat nuts and then you have to go to the hospital and you jab your.
It's yes.
It's a bit of a thrill, isn't
Yes.
it? It's
It's a
like
good
a.
time.
Yeah.
It's a tee hee hee.
I mean,
I have friends who are really excited to give me an EpiPen, and I have friends who do not want to ever give me an EpiPen. Where do you stand on that?
I'm good in that kind of a crisis. If you showed up at my house with a car and you're like, come downstairs, and then you open the trunk and there's a body, like, not only will I not help you, I will snitch on you. I am not that friend. But if you need
Okay,
an
I'm that
emergency
friend.
medical injection, I will attempt my
Yeah.
best.
Okay, but are you like excited to do it? Because I have friends who are excited to do
I got to admit, a little excited, yeah.
You sicko, you freak. You're just like, I
You
want to stab my friend so good.
filthy sicko. I suppose there are people with needle fetishes. There's got to be, right?
I believe there are.
I mean, if you can fathom it, it's there's somebody with it.
Yeah, I don't need to do a Google. I know it's out there.
Huh. Needle fetish. No, I don't have that. But I'm not scared of needles. I just don't like them. It's like snakes. I'm not up all night worrying about snakes like some people. But if I was like, if one was about to jump on my face, I'd be like, oh no, I'm not into this at all. It's like, I'm like that with needles. I don't look forward to needles, but I'm not up late the night before like a needle. You know what I'm saying?
I'm really bad about needles. I don't think about them during all of my non-waking hours, but if I have a needle thing happening, I have to lie down for it or I'll pass out.
I'll even look sometimes when I'm giving blood. But it's a
Ooh,
bad, it's a,
you
I
weirdo.
just because I'm an edge lord. I don't know. It's just
I don't like
I
that.
like to know what's going on, you know?
No, I don't. They want to like sometimes give you a play-by-play at a doctor's appointment. They're like, we're finding the vein and we're putting the needle in the vein. I'm like, I don't need to hear any of this. Just talk to me about anything else, you know?
I was at the dentist recently. I hadn't been in a short while, a few months. It was 10 years, Natasha. I had four cavities.
Oh, a short while.
Well, I went four times in like 2 months and I now have no cavities and I'm flossing every day. My mouth
wow,
has never
you're
been
so
better.
Good.
Yeah.
This is wild. This is a huge thing for you.
Thank you. But the needle they, I don't think it's Novocaine, but whatever the anesthetic is before they start drilling you.
It's a big boy needle.
Why
right?
is that needle that big?
It's so big. It feels like a joke when they pull it out. You're like, this is a bit, right?
I
this
know.
Is a prop.
I thought I was in a cartoon, like with the evil dentist. And I'm like, that's the thing. And she's like barely getting it in my mouth. It's so big. Why is it that big?
I don't know. Maybe so they don't lose it in your mouth.
Oh.
I'm not sure. It seems crazy though. My dentist is really good about making me not feel it go in. Can you feel it? She does a thing where she shakes you a little bit so you don't notice it happening because of the shaking.
Well, first they put a topical cream on that tastes like cherries.
Yeah.
That numbs you a tiny bit so that the needle doesn't hurt so much, and then the needle numbs you completely.
Yeah.
That's another thing. The dentist, the drilling noise when they're drilling into your teeth. I got drilled a couple weeks ago, Natasha. You know what I'm saying?
And you liked it, huh? You liked it. You're a little freak.
I like
you
it.
You liked drilled. It.
No, the sound, it doesn't keep me up at night. But when it's happening, I'm like, I'm not crazy about this, you know?
No, I don't think anyone enjoys it. I said that some people like needle play, but I really believe in my heart, no one enjoys the sound of the drill during the dentist.
Oh, there's got to be people who get it because the people like pain and discomfort. It arouses them.
But the sound is so bad.
There's got to be someone who's got like a dental drilling cavity fetish. Come on. Someone.
You're right. I know you're right, but I hate it.
There's at least 600-700 people on this earth.
Yeah, I was going to say at least 400, but you're closer.
Yeah. I don't mean that have this fetish. I just mean total. There's
no,
least...
no, I know on the earth. Me too. I know. We're on the same page here.
I should have, the setup was.
I liked it. I was on board. I was doubling down.
Okay. I appreciate the yes and, but what it should have been is no period.
Okay. My mistake.
We'll stop. Well, this has been fun. So you don't have PMS. You have PMDD. I like any disorder that has the word dysphoria in it. Premenstrual dysphoric disorder. I use the word dysphoria all the time, and people look at me like I'm trying to sound smart, but I'm like, you'll say euphoria. Dysphoria is such a great word.
Yeah, it's really good. Well, I don't like it because I feel like only medical professionals use it with me, but yes, it's good.
You know, you'll be having a great day. You're like, I feel euphoric. Why not have a crappy day and say I'm feeling dysphoric?
I'm going to say it's my dysphoric disorder. That's what I say.
So what is it? It's just pain, moodiness, soreness, everything?
Like real, real rough in the brain. It used to happen more when I was younger before I had an IUD and like I'd want to crawl out of my skin and like leave my life and run away. And now it gets to the point where I want to not be alive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear that.
It gets a little rut-row in there. A little rut-row.
I hear it. Dysphoric is what it gets.
I used to be medicated for it, but I need to medicate again. I need to get on Lexapro again.
Lexapro for period mood regulation.
Yeah.
Love it.
Right? Why not?
Yeah. You mentioned IUDs. A friend of mine got an IUD a few years ago, and she's like, I got an IUD today. And I responded, oh, no, you IU didn't. And she didn't think that was funny. And I've been mad about it ever
since.
I
love how you did it.
Thank you. Okay.
Oh, that's cute.
I wanted to talk to you about struggling with work because I have a fear. And so we're going to do that in a moment. With Natasha Vinnick.
After me.
After you. No, well, after you, we're going to...
You said Natasha Vinnick and I said me.
Oh, okay. That went great. This is why I have a job. Okay, we are here. Natasha Vinnick, comedian extraordinaire, soon to be featured in the Xflix is a joke. Netflix is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix Xlax is a... Okay, you get the point. Reaching. I told myself if I wasn't earning a steady income in commercial radio by the time I hit 40, I would go back to my old career.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm
37.
Oh, you got time. You got plenty of time.
But I used to be this techie, and when I left the industry, I'm like, jobs are easy. You can work anywhere. It's fine. Money grows on trees. And it was kind of that way-ish, you know?
Yeah. And it changed.
I was talking to my friend the other day who's like some, I don't know, senior poop head or whatever to tech. And he's had his choice of jobs. And he's like, I don't like my job right now. I'm quitting and I'm traveling. And so he did it. He quit and he traveled. And he's like, when I come back, I'll have my pick of jobs. And I thought, yeah, you will. You're pretty senior in your career. You've had a good resume, whatever. He's put out his resume to like 15 companies. He hasn't heard back from one of them. And he's like, oh no, I've made a huge mistake. I'm starting to get scared. Things are bad out there. I know you're between jobs and you are looking maybe for a tech job. Or is this the kick in the pants you need to pursue comedy? I don't know. But you answer that question on me.
I mean, I would love to pursue comedy. I just don't know how that's realistic here in San Francisco and I make a living off of it. So I need to have money for health insurance in the body. What's that, New York Rally? I know. You got to go to New York Rally. I hear you. But I am applying to like 20 to 30 jobs a day. I think yesterday before I applied to 67 jobs.
In a day?
In a day. I'm going wild.
Good for you.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much.
That's wild to me.
But I need to.
And is it like companies just aren't hiring and it's just like people are losing their jobs and they don't get new ones?
Yeah, I think it's that like thousands of people who have way more experience than me were laid off. And so these companies that are hiring now have their pick of like the best of the best. And I have little experience in comparison. So I'm not surprised that I'm not hearing back as much as I'd like to, you know?
I'm going to hit 40 and not be able to get a job. This is fun. This is
great news. No, you're going to have radio. You're going to have a radio show.
We'll see.
Because you already have. You've already had times where you've made a living off of radio. So you just need to happen to have it to happen again, you know?
Yeah, no, I know. But same for you. You've had times where you've made a living off of being a nerd.
Yeah, you're right. Everything's going to come up us and nothing will be bad.
Okay, we won't get dysphoria?
No, we won't get, I mean, I have it. I can't help it. I don't know what your excuse is.
Do you avoid social activities when you get the premenstrual dysphoric disorder?
I don't want to leave my house, but I've had like my best friend come to visit and stay with me, hang out for the day. And I really like that.
Oh.
It's hard for me to want to get up and go places, but I'll do it for comedy, but I'm not good at socializing.
I hear that. Okay.
Yeah.
Here I was thinking we'd have an hour to talk about jobs, difficulty. I guess it's just kind of boring, isn't it?
No, I mean, it's just kind of a bummer. Mm. You know, you do interviews, you're like, I'm a person. And they're like, yeah, but not for us. And you're like, okay. I don't know. What are you supposed to do? What do we do here?
I was telling my friend, you should reach out to people who you've worked with and be like, hey, I wanted some advice. Like, you know my history. Like, I'm looking for a new job. What advice would you have for me? Wink, wink. And ask people who can actually hire you. That way, you're asking them to hire you without asking them, which is kind of tacky. Or they can't hire you, but they may actually have some good advice.
Yeah. I do need to start reaching out to people at jobs. I think I just have some imposter syndrome around, like, do I even know how to code anymore, you know?
Yes.
It's been some few months away, and I feel like I forgot everything.
You know how to code.
You're right.
And you're welcome.
I know how to code. Thank you.
What's the thing with the coding? You do the 1 + 7 and just...
That's easy. It's just math. It's basic math. You pull out a little calculator.
God, I hate coding. I actually love coding. That's the weird
part. I love it too. It feels so good. You're like a little puzzle.
Tap, tap, tap. Oh, it's done. Oh, it broke.
Yeah. But then you can fix it. I don't know. It's very satisfying when it works out.
Even when
it doesn't work out, you know? But yeah, we'll be happy. We'll have jobs. You'll be a famous radio boy.
Name one famous radio person other than Howard Stern.
How famous are we talking? Can I say Jim Richards?
All right, you got it. You nailed it. Well done. Okay, so there is hope for me.
Yeah, you could be the next Jim Richards.
I tried that already. Jim Richards. Okay, so what else?
Yeah. Great question. What else?
My friend who you probably know, I'm going to look it up. Ray Connolly, he's a comedian who lives in Los Angeles, you know?
Okay. Was he part of kind of that whole piano fight group?
Yeah, until he moved to LA.
Yeah, I know, Ray.
What's the one that with the, What's the one on that Instagram has with the tweets? Threads. Threads.
Yes, Threads.
Yeah. Threads. He posted something, which I'm gonna read and probably cut out my search for it because it's boring. I get the screw comedy classes, but also the mic stand is blocking you and you don't know where the light is and your set was over 3 minutes ago and you're going to keep asking us what else. I guess F off the stage is what else. And I was just, I like it.
Yeah. Okay. I like it too.
That's all I got on that. What else?
Do you ever try stand up still? Or are you done with that?
Oh, I did about maybe a month ago, maybe more. I don't know. Time's an illusion.
What?
My friend Anik has a show here in New York.
Anik Adel?
Anik Adel.
Yep.
And Anik's like, you're a great host. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And Anik was like, I used to go to your mic 10 years ago and I used to think you were amazing. And I'm like, first of all, you had just started comedy. So rose-colored glasses, the people that you start with who had been doing it for a day longer than you, you're like, that person's amazing. Yet Anik does it five nights a week for 10 years. And I quit, 5 years ago? Who knows? And so I'm like, you know, I'm going to take down your whole show. And Anik's like, no, you'll be great. It's going to be great. I have a good feeling about this. I'm like, all right. So I did a 3-minute opening set that I wrote that day.
Oh, bold.
Yeah. I knew. Well, my whole thing was with comedy was like, I suck at writing. And that's my Achilles heel on this. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it right this time. I'm going to actually write instead of just getting up there and saying what else.
Did you move the mic stand?
Yeah, I know how to do all that stuff. And I was happy with like the sound of my voice. I had a really good handle on the sound of my voice. But everything that I said was getting
grown. But the content that you said?
Terrible.
What did you say?
I don't know. I was talking about being an unemployed radio personality. I don't know. It was just like self-indulgent and terrible. People hated it. People were groaning. I bailed on my set early. And then I handed my mic to the first comic. And then they bombed. This is someone who had just like been on Conan or fucking who knows, Fallon, whatever. Late night. These are people who like write for Comedy Central. Like these are like actual working comedians. And they bomb one after the other. And in the green room, they just give me such dirty looks. None of them said goodbye
like, it's
to
all
me.
Thanks to you. That's so funny.
I took down a show with me, which honestly is so to answer your question, no.
I like that. I feel like if you're going to do comedy just like once in a while, that's the right way to do it.
Well, I
just
was glad
ruin
I did
everyone
it.
Else's time. Yeah.
And, you know, there's always that what if. And I guess it had been a few years since the pandemic. I guess I did a few Zoom shows, but I mean, come on. And
yeah.
It was really nice to walk away being like, oh yeah, that's why I hate this. Like I was so happy that I performed. I had a lot of fun. It was great to do it. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't want to do this thing. It's awful. Come on. It's terrible.
It is rough when it's rough, but when it's good, it feels so good.
Yes. But if you can't deal with if you like the good so much, you can deal with the rough. But if you don't love the good, like you're going to eventually quit because it's just so rough.
Yeah. It is really rough. It was really rough. Yeah. I don't know if I told you they finally booked me on all three shows for the Netflix is a Joke Festival.
And?
I think the one we last talked to was two. They seem good. I'm on Mike Glazer's show. I don't know if you're familiar with him. Irene, too, he might remember. And Hayden Crystal. I don't know her, actually.
Love them all.
Love them all. They're great.
Not as much as you, but...
Of course.
You're so much better than all of them. They're all f***ing losers.
But I have to book a lot of shows in LA during the meantime, though. And it's rough out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know about the LA comedy scene, but it is rough.
Okay, let's take a break. Tell me what's so rough about it. And then you can go about having a terrible day. We're here with Natasha Vinnick.
Okay, thank you.
Hi again.
Hello. Wow.
We're back.
I feel so rested from that break.
It was quite a break. We broke.
Quite a break.
We kibitzed.
We kibitzed.
You roasted a full lamb.
A whole lamb with mint jelly and everything.
Natasha Vinnick, comedian. Do you still do improv?
No. I don't think I'd be good at it anymore either.
Takes a while.
I feel like.
You got to be in it to be good at it, right?
You got to be doing it a lot. There's like muscle memory stuff and... I feel like I'm too much like going for the joke now because of stand-up. I don't know if I could sit in it as well as I should.
Here's a hot take. Is anyone good at improv?
Yes, they are. And improv is great. And I have no patience for these people who are like, improv's bad. Okay, bad improv is bad, but bad stand-up is worse. All right?
Yeah, but at least with bad improv, they're in it together. And so there's like a camaraderie of suffering. With bad stand-up, it's like, ha-ha, you're in it alone and you suck.
It's so painful.
It's more enjoyable to see bad stand-up because it really is the depths of human suffering. Whereas improv, it's like, well, at least we have each other.
At least I have each other, so I can't get too mad. But with bad stand-up, oof.
Nothing like staring a bad, hungry, desperate comic in the eye who's doing a bad job, knows they're doing a bad job. They're starting to sweat. You can see it come over them, the slow realization that these people would rather not have fun than have fun with me. That's how much they hate me. And they keep going and they make eye contact with you. And it's like a window into their soul.
It hurts so bad. It hurts so bad. Are you familiar with Sunday Punchline? Our club here in San Francisco?
Yeah, sure.
And Sunday is the like comedy showcase where all the comics from all over the Bay Area come to hope to get up on stage. Maybe a few months ago, I saw a woman go up for her first time. And it was the most painful thing I've seen. And I think she knew she was bombing the whole time, but she had to do her time. And I felt so, and I saw how unhappy she was afterwards. And I'm like, oh yeah, after I do bad at this place, I want to die. I'm like, oh, all of your peers watching you fail is so painful. So much more painful than all of your strangers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the peers that really matter know what it's like. Like they've gone through that too. Anyone who pretends that like, oh, I'm better than you because you failed like this, they're just lying to themselves. They either went through that or they're so insanely lucky. I don't think I've ever met anyone that lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that you're right, but still no one wants to talk to you after you bomb. I don't know if they're worried they're going to get the bomb on them or what, but they're like, uh-uh.
I mean, that's very human, right? It's so funny to me that desperation, you know, is so off-putting to people because when you're desperate, all you want is for people to like you. All you want is to be accepted. And just that feeling of being desperate and people observing that, it makes them want to do the opposite. It says something awful about the human condition.
Yeah, we're bad people.
We are. Okay, the shows, Netflix is a joke. We were going to get into something and I already forgot what it was. Oh, improv, maybe. No.
Oh.
That was a sidebar.
I think it was just that I need to book a lot of shows down there. But it's impossible to book now because every comedian you've ever heard of is going to be down there during those 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And you're in SF, so you don't have the buddy factor. Or maybe you do, I don't know.
No, I've been reaching out to folks and everyone's like, we're booked. And I'm like, well, don't be. I'm very important. But they don't believe me. And I don't believe me either when I say it. So I can't blame them.
According to at least one mother in the Bay Area, I'm extremely important.
Oh, who?
Your mother.
You're important to her. She wouldn't say all that.
No. Bombing. We were going to come back and have a discussion. And then I was like, okay, let's ease into it. And now I forget what the discussion was.
I think it was about to be the LA comedy scene, but I'm not very knowledgeable about it other than it's rough to get sets. Anyone who moves down there comes back up here to San Francisco all the time because you can get so many more sets up here than you can down there.
Sets. Bombing.
It's just too many people down there. Too many people who aren't comedians who are trying to be comedians or whose agents tell them to try comedy, you know?
That's a real thing. Actors, their agents are like, get out there.
Yeah, and like anyone on a show is more likely to put you up if you have a credit on a TV show than if you're just a good comedian. You know what I mean?
I mean, no, but yes.
It's a bummer. Anyway, that's it. That's amore.
That's it? That's all you got?
That's amore.
It's got to be more. There's deeper. The festival.
The festival.
Trying to get booked. Why do you have to get booked? Can't you just do your three shows and peace out?
Well, my shows are the 2nd, the 8th, and the 9th, so I have a ton of days in between. I bailed on shows up here because of that, so I'm like, I should get booked down there.
Just go to the tar pits and the observatory and Santa Monica Pier and, you know, do all those things.
I'm not good at hanging out.
No?
No.
You don't hang out?
I don't hang out.
You like board games?
I love board games. Why would you ask that? Do you like board games?
Isn't that a hanging out thing for nerds?
My boyfriend doesn't like board games. Do you not like board games?
I don't like board games, no.
Oh, my God.
Why would I like board games?
Because they're fun,
They have the word board in them.
Boo, it's spelled different. We all know that.
I'm dyslexic. That's racist.
Okay, you're right. I'm a piece of shit.
My friend had his birthday. He's a grown man and he had it at laser tag. And I was privately, and it's like my girlfriend's really close friend. It's her boyfriend. I'm kind of friendly with him. I go with him alone sometimes, but mostly it's like through my girlfriend. His birthday's at laser tag. And I had been complaining about this to Miranda for months. Like, oh, I don't want to go to laser tag. I don't like doing it. Finally, I get there and I'm having more fun than everyone. I'm running around. I'm cheating. I'm covering my thing. Miranda's friends start calling me Laser Boy. So, and I really have to eat my words. So maybe I would like board games.
You would love games. See, this happened with my boyfriend. We were at a family thing and we all played Code Names. He never played before. And he's like, I like Code Names. I'm like, you like games? He's like, I don't like games. We go in a game store and I'm a game nerd a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll know a lot of games and I like a lot of games. And he's like, I hate games. And I got so worked up and upset in my head because I'm like, how can you hate all, you don't hate all, you're lying, you know? Games are fun.
Yeah, but there's got to be things you write off that, you know, you shouldn't. No?
Like what?
Nuts. You won't eat them.
Whatever. I have eaten them and it's always gone bad every single time.
You can't be an infinite well of good attitude, Natasha, despite the fact that you come off that way. There's got to be something you're a sourpuss about.
Yeah.
Any kind of music, a TV show, something that's widely loved that you can't stand.
Oh, that's widely loved that I can't stand?
Like, I hate Friends. Can't stand it. Think less of people who love it.
Friends is okay.
I'm not a huge Taylor Swift fan, but I'm not like a...
Taylor Swift's fantastic.
I'm not
She's fantastic.
Fine, whatever.
And her new album comes out tomorrow.
I know,
are you so excited?
I know. My girlfriend won't shut up about it. But I'm not like a naysayer.
I love your girlfriend.
She's very... She's like, can you break up with me for 6 hours so I can really feel the Taylor Swift album? So at midnight...
That's so smart of her.
At midnight, I'm dumping her.
Hopefully, I'm still rolling on these hormones so I can get all sad to the album.
Oh, there's a benefit.
Taylor Swift a benefit.
And premenstrual dysphoric disorder.
I can't wait.
There's got to be something that you are...
That I don't like? That really upsets me? That gets my goat?
Yeah, that you have a hot take or an unpopular opinion. Like, I don't think offense is given. I think offense is taken. You know, I think people... When someone's offended, it's like it's their choice. Like, especially, like, if I insult your religion or I insult your this or that. Like, yes, I'm rude. Yes, I shouldn't... You know, I shouldn't cause offense, but at the end of the day, like, you're responsible for being offended.
I had this isn't the same, but I got into a weird kind of argument with my dude some weeks ago, mm-hmm. where he said to me, "Well, you're Christian," and I was like, "I'm not Christian." He's like, "Well, your family did Christmas sometimes," and I got really upset and worked up.
This is a fight that me and Miranda have all the time.
Really?
You're dating a Canadian Jew. Wild, because and then Miranda's like, "Well, my Jewish friends all celebrate Christmas." I'm like, "It's a Christian holiday."
I say the same thing. There's studies too on how many people in the States celebrate Christmas
but
who are Jewish,
Canadian,
and it's a lot.
Him and I,
it's a lot. All right, it's different.
But it's the thrashing of a Christian holiday, and then the commercialization of it onto everyone, and it doesn't happen as much in Canada. And to me, it's a Christian holiday. Boom.
Yeah, and here it's just like a cultural thing.
The
you know?
First six letters of it are Christ.
I know, but whatever.
But what?
That's so funny. Miranda and I are the same.
I guess. I mean, she's more Anna Green Gables. You're more, I don't
she's
know.
She's like a beautiful mermaid woman. Yeah.
She's great. That's so funny to me. But
I got really worked up and defensive about it. I was really, it felt so weird. It felt like he was like, only gatekeeping Judaism, but also saying that I'm a thing that I'm not, you know?
I mean, at best, it's just a worship of capitalism holiday that we did not celebrate as Canadian Jews. At worst, it's a Christian holiday.
Yeah, I think, is she Jewish? Because I'm Jewish.
No.
Is Miranda Jewish?
No, she's
okay,
not
well,
Jewish.
I'm Jewish. This is like, it was really weird to me because I identify, you know, I a lot of the Jewish holidays I grew up, you know what I mean?
Let's get into something in a moment. We're here with Natasha Vinnick doing whatever the hell we do on this show. Is Christmas a Christian holiday?
No.
That is the topic. I would say yes. It is celebrating the birth of Christ. And I don't care that it's been transformed into a secular holiday. It's Christian in origin. Like, sure. If you were in a very, I don't even know that this country exists, but imagine you were in an extremely secular Muslim country, like Turkey, but way more secular. And they were celebrating Ramadan. And it was just really about fasting and togetherness. And they never mentioned the Quran once. And then you move to that country and someone said, Ramadan's not a Muslim holiday. You'd be like, what the, you know? And that's what you're doing right now.
Well, in this country, I think it's different.
You're dating an immigrant.
I agree. So he is wrong when he's in this country and he's right when he's in his own country.
Okay, but it's just a misunderstanding.
But he argued it so much. And I'm like, you don't understand. Being here, Christmas is just different, you know? Like, it's so commercial that it's really less religious and more just like...
Yeah, but you turn on Fox News and they're like, the Christ in Christmas, Jesus, the, you know, war on Christmas.
Yeah, but that's political. That's like politics. That's like wacky politics. It's not even religion anymore, you know?
So just because a holiday about the birth of Christ has been transformed into something secular makes it not a Christian holiday?
I think that having Christmases doesn't make you Christian. The same way that someone going to a few Passovers doesn't make them Jewish.
Fair, but it's a Christian holiday.
It is originally a Christian holiday. Sure.
Do you think, because your dad's Jewish and your mom's not, and I think when people have a... First of all, with Sephardic Jews, it goes through the father, which I recently learned. So this whole like, oh, Judaism goes through the mother. It's not all Jews even believe that.
Uh-huh.
But I think if you... aren't the right one, so to speak, you know, quote unquote, and you identify as a Jew, for me, like, that's enough, you know? But for some people, they're like, oh, your mom's not Jewish, even if you went to synagogue every day.
She converted. She converted before I was born.
But then some people are like, what branch did she convert under? Was it Orthodox? Was it conservative? Was it Reform? You know, people can, I'm not accusing your boyfriend of this, but people can be like, really kind of prejudiced for no good reason with this stuff.
Yeah, I agree. It's crazy. Let me live.
Is that what we're seeing with him? I don't know.
Oh, no. I mean, we discussed it and, you know, I think we came to some kind of conclusion.
Why did you get so upset?
Because I've never had someone tell me what my religion is to me before.
So
I've never
had about Christmas than him calling you a Christian.
Yeah, I was like, I don't identify that way. I don't see myself that way. So like being told that is crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you get to pick your labels.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'm on your side. But if on
Thank
the,
you so much.
Well, on the purely Christmas side of the debate, I am not on your side at all. It's a Christian
holiday.
I
understand. I agree that it's originally a Christian holiday.
You're celebrating a secular variant of a Christian holiday in a majority Christian country. Come on.
Yeah. And like, I'm not out here going out and celebrating it myself. I don't have any meaning associated with it. You know what I mean?
Well, come on. You like the tree and the snow and the togetherness.
Tree's pretty. Have snow, but tree's pretty. Oh, it's God. Shiny lights. And we love shiny lights.
I hate the tree. And the cat eats the tree and then he throws up and Miranda insists on
the tree.
I don't
have any relation to this. Yeah. I don't understand.
And it takes up room and storage. She's got a 6-foot tree.
Wow. She loves Christmas.
She loves it. She's a Christmas monster. And it is a point of tension that I do not. Every year it hurts her. It pains her.
That's so funny. So you hate Christmas. You're real warm. My best friend hates Christmas too. She's very Jewish and really hates Christmas. It's funny.
Hate it. And I think when people are like, oh, it's not about, I'm like, screw you. It is a religious holiday.
Yeah, but isn't like a holiday season so fun? Isn't it so fun where there are like twinkly lights everywhere and you're having hot, cozy drinks? I like wintertime holiday feels.
No.
You don't like that even?
Full stop.
Really?
Growing up, everyone would be stressed out for a month. Oh, I got to shop. Oh, I got to travel, go to Christmas, holidays. Everyone's stressed leading up to this event. And then there's this tension release because they get this wonderful holiday. Whereas I would just be alone because my family, you know, I spent a lot of time alone. I was ignored a lot. So for me, it's like I absorb all the negatives leading up to it. And then when everyone gets their nice, you know, Hallmark Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm just alone, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you and my boyfriend are both like really, really jealous from never having had Christmas growing up.
I'm the CEO
really the
and
conclusion.
President of the Lonely Jewish Christmas Club.
Yeah. Maybe sounds like you guys just need more Christmas in your life.
We gotta double date the four of us. I love this guy.
Can't wait.
And he's really close with my brother too, I hear.
Oh yeah, they're best friends. He kept telling me more of your family members, and I'm like, I didn't even know he had that many brothers.
I only have two brothers.
Yeah, he's like, I think he has two brothers and a sister. I'm like, I don't know about any of this. Do you have two brothers and a sister? Is he right?
Yeah, I have two brothers and a sister.
I'll let him know he was right.
I don't speak to my eldest brother, so he's not really a figure in my life. But my younger brother is like my best friend.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Is that the one that knew this guy?
Yes.
Okay.
For those who have no idea what we're talking about, you're dating a Canadian Jew from the same, like, pretty small community as me. When I told Miranda about this, Miranda's like, great, she's dating you. And I'm like, well, I'm sure he's like a nice, normal, well-adjusted version of me.
Yeah, you guys are very different that way.
Because I don't think you could tolerate, you know, half the stuff I do.
Miranda's a really strong woman.
I remember last week you were going through the list of reasons you hated your ex. And one of them was like he was kind of rude to you in a moment. You were on vacation, maybe. What happened again?
He said, don't touch me with those dirty little sausage fingers.
Yes!
I'd eat beef jerky and he was a vegetarian.
Yeah, not that I'm condoning it because it's awful and he shouldn't.
And it's different because it kills me. Nuts kill me. He was comparing it to him eating nuts and holding my hand. It's not an apt comparison.
But just telling you you had sausage fingers, which is really mean. That's kind of like a low level play meanness that goes on between me and Miranda that I feel like you would not tolerate. And that's fine. You shouldn't have to tolerate.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
And so I'm like, yes, he's a Canadian Jew, but he's probably the nice, kind, sweet, thoughtful variant as opposed to full of shit, narcissist, awful variant, which is where
I'm at. He's fine. Whatever. He's fine.
You're still pissed about the Christmas comment?
Yeah, and I'm still on my period.
Got it. So he'll be angelic in what, three? How long does a period last? 6 months? I don't know.
Yeah, like a couple days. Yeah, 6 months.
Someone was telling me about how when they first shot women up into the space station? Did you know this story?
They gave them like a million pads.
Yeah. The NASA engineers are like, how many tampons does a lady need? 4,000? She's like, I'm just going up there for a month. They're like, okay, 10,000 tampons.
10,000 is good. We got to stuff her up or she's going to leak.
Yeah. How do women work? 4,000 tampons? Anytime I get asked to buy tampons, I'm like, how many do you need? 4,000?
4,000? That's so funny.
How long do periods last? 4 years.
Yeah, at least.
And you get them once in your life.
Yeah, it's a one-time thing.
I understand. Men really don't know how women's bodies work, do they?
No, they don't. Some of them think PMS was just a thing from the 90s.
Got it, yeah. And with the internet, there really is no excuse. You could just like Google women's bodies. Most of it's there.
Yes, easily. You could be like, how does this work? And they go, oh, here's how. But no, we're not going to do that. We're just going to go, yuck, gross, but not talk about it.
And men do Google women's bodies quite intimately. Yeah, you think they
do, but not the words. They don't do the words.
They don't Google get the companion the literature. They just get the visuals.
Yeah. Yeah, they're never really reading it for the articles, you know?
There should be like a little, you know, half screen with the companion literature. So when you're watching horrible sex to masturbate, it's like, okay, you have to read this paragraph about how
Yeah,
you
can be a little bit informed. You get some more education this with our adult entertainment.
Be a good app. Okay, well, I think we covered it. Everything.
We did a good job, right?
Somehow.
That was good?
Yeah, I mean, we did a job.
We did what we could with what we had.
We did. I always like interviewing Christians. It's nice to meet people with different religious views than me.
Are you talking about me right now? Or are you trying to make me angry? We're done here. This was fine.
It was a callback. Would you say you're an atheist, a spiritual? What kind of, what is are you?
I think I'm pretty agnostic, but I identify as Jewish, which
agnostic
I feel like is
Jew.
Not unusual. It's pretty standard.
No, I'm an atheist Jew, so. There it is.
I used to be pretty atheistic. Now I'm kind of like, I don't know anything anymore.
Yeah, but that's what, I don't know either. I just am pretty sure.
Yeah.
But I'm like 99, you know, if I died and there's St. Peter.
99% sure?
More like 99.999. But if I died and there was St. Peter with the pearly gates and, you know, all that, I probably think I was hallucinating, but.
You would. And you'd maybe be right.
Probably would. But if the hallucination lasted like a year, I might believe it. And then.
Yeah. Or that might just be you. Maybe you're having your period for your first time for that year.
Because that's how periods work.
That's how periods work.
Well, I know you need to go pick up a gross of tampons.
Yeah, I do.
So you just shove 80 in there at once and then change them every 15 minutes?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I love that story, that NASA story. NASA.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I've been saying it wrong my whole life. NASA.
What have you been saying?
NASA.
Oh, weird.
NASA. That's...
Yeah.
NASA. Natasha.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
My goddamn pleasure. All right, coming up next, it's Sasquatch, it's Bigfoot, it's a man who has a TV all about the subject versus me, the skeptic, who definitely does not believe in Bigfoot. Okay, maybe I believe in Bigfoot. We'll find out all that and more in just a moment. How was that for a tease ahead? Not my best, not my worst. Why am I still talking? Not exactly clear. But here we are. I am here with the former president, founder, he's still part of the executive branch, as I understand it, of the Trent University Sasquatch Society in Ontario. He's also the host and producer of Sasquatch University on Wild TV. I have a sneaking suspicion this man likes Bigfoot. I don't know. We'll find out. Ryan Willis, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Are you a fan of Bigfoot? That's my first question for you.
Oh, absolutely not, because he's so difficult to find all the time. So it makes it challenging for me. But, well, you know, obviously I'm a huge fan, and I love it. I love the research, and I'm super excited about season two of the show we're doing.
Elusive, never before been done. It's sort of like the female orgasm. At least that's my understanding. That was a terrible joke. Okay, let's get serious. I heard you on News Talk tonight on my friend Jim Richards' show, and I became quite jealous. I thought, well, I've interviewed you first. Me and Jim get competitive about guests. How does it feel to be in the middle of a lover's quarrel?
It feels good. It feels good if you're the one that's wanted. Don't have to do any fighting. Yesterday, I get to go on his show. Today, I'm on your show. So it's great for me.
Being wanted, something that's never happened to me. Okay, last we spoke, you were heavily involved with your university Sasquatch Society. You've stepped away. You're now on TV chasing Sasquatch. Do you want to tell me about Sasquatch University?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot's happened since the last time we did an interview. You were actually one of the first we ever did. And that was before we even had the TV show. So super cool to be going full circle with it and finally, kind of come this far. But yeah, I'm super excited. We did season one, last year, and, it was super cool getting to do. We went across Ontario to go and talk with people that had seen them, had pictures, videos, audio, all kinds of things. A lot of really cool evidence to follow up on right here, kind of in our own backyard. So I love doing that, and I'm super psyched for season two, which we'll be filming over the summer.
Okay.
And it'll air in September.
Let's talk about the show in a minute, but I recently had a conversation with a conspiracy theory expert. This is a guy who's infiltrated QAnon. I mean, this guy's a real researcher into conspiracy theories. He himself doesn't buy into the more wild ones, but it's his whole life in research. And he told me something that I found absolutely fascinating is that Jane Goodall said that Bigfoot is actually plausible. Now, the evidence doesn't point to Sasquatch. I mean, you may disagree, but the general scientific community doesn't have great evidence and scholarly publishing and all this proving once and for all that Sasquatch is real. But Jane Goodall and other researchers said actually apes like that existed in Asia up until, I don't know, a few hundred thousand, maybe a million years ago. So an evolutionary thread that could lead to a Sasquatch-like creature is actually fairly plausible. Now, she doesn't believe that Sasquatch is real, but it kind of flips the script for anyone who the word Sasquatch or Bigfoot comes up, and they immediately write it off as, oh, you're crazy, you believe in wild alien abductions, all these things that we have no evidence for. We actually have evidence that the cousin of Sasquatch did roam the earth. And so it's kind of funny how culturally Bigfoot's come to be associated with people who, you know, don't know what they're talking about or they'll believe anything. But in reality, this is actually plausible. Did you know what I just told you? And does it surprise you?
Yeah, that's a Gigantopithecus, and it's pretty cool, that Yeah, I mean that's obviously proven. People know about that. And I think it really kind of extends a real link between the two, because that, people go, oh, what is a Bigfoot? What's a Sasquatch? And it's the exact description of what a Gigantopithecus is. So yeah, it's pretty cool. And obviously, you have other types of apes, big apes like gorillas and chimps and things in other parts of the world. So I, different than a Sasquatch, obviously, these types of things obviously do exist and have existed in our world, and that's proven.
Yeah. And so to me, when people associate Sasquatch with the Tooth Fairy, I'm like, well, that's the Tooth Fairy. There's no demonstration that anything like that is plausible. There's no fossil record of Tooth Fairies and they're just extinct. We don't even know if one could exist. I have a sneaking suspicion one could not exist, but that's just me. But with Bigfoot, it's plausible. It did exist and it could exist. And so it's warmed me up on this kind of stuff, which I think leads nicely to your show. Tell me about the first season. What did you guys find? What did you seek to find? And what did you get up to in it?
Yeah, it was super fun. So actually, it was right. I think it's been a little over a year now since we started filming on it. So I think it was around Easter last year. We went kind of our first expedition for the trip. We went out to Grey County, out it's kind of out near Owen Sound in Ontario. But we were, kind of. I was kind of surprised because it's not. There is like a lot of forest and stuff out there, but it's not really the same as like Northern Ontario in terms of like forest density and like everything there. But a lot of wildlife. But yeah, we got a lot of reports in there, so we went out and met with those people, and it was really cool. We were able to meet with a bunch of witnesses. A woman who had really cool audio recording might have been my favorite piece of evidence. Even with videos and pictures we got the whole season, just because of how cool this howl was. Yeah, so that was super cool. And we actually had some rocks thrown near us when we were out doing our night investigation, so I was pretty spooked. The crew was like really spooked, and yeah, it was pretty cool. And it was a spot where someone had experienced that before, which was really interesting to us.
Rock
So
throwing.
that, and then yeah, we had another little bit where we were up at a hunt camp in Northern Ontario, where they got like a picture one looking in a window. And yeah, that was really cool. We went to a bunch of other spots that had other various evidence we covered in the show. And yeah, it was just a really great experience and a lot of fun too. And we got to meet a lot of really cool people.
When you interview these people that have these bits of evidence, whether it's a photograph, audio, how sincerely held are their belief that Sasquatch is real, that these creatures or creature roams the earth?
Yeah, it really varies person to person, because some of them, they'll have evidence, but they're not even like believers or anything necessarily. Like the hunters we went to go meet with, they were just checking the trail cams. Like they just have like trail cams all over the property, and they just caught this on the cam, and didn't know what it was, and that was how they got in touch with us originally. And then like months later, we all went up there, and we had a blast. They were super fun guys too. We had a great time. Yeah, and then then there's other ones. Yeah, like I think Maureen, who sent us, she had some potential tracks she found on her property. And yeah, she's a big believer. And yeah, we have, it's really kind of varies back and forth. Yeah, but it was really cool. And we got to another cool thing we got to do in the show, we got to go meet with some indigenous communities that were able to share some stuff with us. And but yeah, just a super cool experience getting to do all that.
Sounds really cool. Okay, rewinding back to my comment about Bigfoot being plausible.
Oh yes.
Why do you think that people make fun of believers of Bigfoot in particular? Why do you think this one, I'll call it a conspiracy theory, you may not agree with that, categorization. Why is it that you think people make fun of this one in particular?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I wouldn't say Bigfoot gets more made fun of than maybe ghost and aliens and things like. Well, actually, maybe ghost less. I think more people believe in ghost overall. But yeah, I mean, I do understand it. Like, it does make sense to me. And we do get people every now and then that do seem a bit maybe off the rocker in some senses, with because they'll be telling us about a lot of other really crazy things, or like get into their time in prison and their mental, like, kind of, and it's just like, oh, okay, like, you know. But then there's a lot of people though that are just really good regular people who just saw something, and you know, those ones I you know, people do end up laughing at them, unfortunately. But yeah, I think the more they get to see those people, that'll change. But I yeah, it's kind of the crazy hooks that really I think get people maybe laughing a little bit. And I get it, if there's not a ton of evidence for something like a Bigfoot, you see how kind of you know, funny and ridiculous that might seem for people that don't really know a ton about the evidence that is out there. So yeah, I get it, but yeah.
Okay, well, I'm curious about what evidence is out there. Do you mind taking a break, coming back, and answering my questions?
Absolutely, that sounds good.
All right, I'm here with Ryan Willis. He's the host producer of Sasquatch University on Wild TV. Stay with us. Bigfoot. Sasquatch. That is what we're talking here with Ryan Willis, who is the host and producer of Sasquatch University on Wild TV. Ryan, welcome back. Bigfoot and Sasquatch, do you use these interchangeably? I feel like I might be committing a faux pas. Are they slightly different things and I'm just saying they're the same and you're nodding your head and smiling and I'm the idiot, or are they in fact the same?
They're pretty much interchangeable. I mean, there's some people out there that maybe might disagree a little bit, or in terms of like different definitions of the word per se, but people use them interchangeably for sure. So yeah, you're you know, fine to do so.
Good. Okay. Moments ago, we were talking about evidence, or at least people who haven't examined the evidence for Bigfoot making fun of those who have. What is the best piece of evidence you think that would support the claim that this creature or these creatures roam the earth?
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one piece is definitely the Patterson-Gimlin film. That's kind of been like the holy grail of, like, you know, Bigfoot evidence for a long time. There's been a lot that's come out since then, but that's still like kind of the number one that people go to. I think there's just so much that can kind of be taken away from it and has been studied by scientists in terms of like different muscle groups moving on the body, or you know, the like footprints that were, you know, taken after. So there was kind of a lot there to go off of. So it's really more than just a video in that sense.
Because there, as I understand it, is not general consensus amongst biologists, evolutionary biologists, you know, mainstream academic journals that Sasquatch is out there. Do you think now that technology has gotten so good that deep fakes will soon, or maybe now, you can't tell the difference between deep fakes and real footage, that there never will be great evidence because anyone can make a video or anyone can fake a video at this point?
Oh, that's a good question, actually. I think it really depends. Like, I'm not a super big tech guy, so I don't really know if like anything involving like AI or, you know, deep fake stuff. I would assume there's ways that can be detected. But maybe I'm wrong. Like, I really don't know much about it.
No, it's true. I think our best defense against AI created deepfakes is AI analyzed deepfakes to say, hey, no, a bot actually made this, you know, video of Trump saying this that he didn't actually say or whatever. You know, technology that's scary that can falsify things can also be used to analyze those things and tell you whether they're real, which is kind of interesting. But that's probably a conversation that's too far out there. Last we spoke, you were president and founder of the Trent University Sasquatch Society. You now have a TV show dealing with Sasquatch. This journey of yours, where does it start? At what point do you realize, no, I want to make a TV show about this. I want to really steer my life in the direction of this. Was it something you were vaguely curious in, and the more you got involved, it was like a gateway drug? Or when, from your very earliest days, you were like, Sasquatch, that's a bit of me. I'm going in that direction. I don't care who tries to stop me.
Yeah, you know, probably like when I was very young, definitely just kind of curious about it once I knew what it was. Because like I had never heard of a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch until I was like maybe 11 or 12, right? And I started watching Finding Bigfoot on Animal Planet. And I was just all in from there. I was like, oh my God, like this is like, I'd be freaked out like to go in the woods and stuff, because I was like, whoa, this is like crazy, and so many people have seen this. And then, you know, just as I got older, like I just always would read about it, like in my free time, and you know, in the summers, go out in the woods in the Algonquin Park and do my own research and things over the years. And then at Trent, I met some other buddies that they were like, "Oh, I love Bigfoot too," and then we started doing like night searches and stuff. You know, Peterborough, like right by the university, there's forest, but it's not like super forested, so it's kind of more, you know, kind of a way to check out the forest and get to know people a little bit, how it started, and then it really just grew in terms of people. And then we just started having researchers out all the time and doing like really proper investigations and stuff. And yeah, just took off from there. So it's been, yeah, crazy Bigfoot journey. I never would have guessed that that would be what I'd be doing, like, you know, after I'm done university, doing the TV show about it.
Is it the community around you, your buddies from the Sasquatch Society, the people you work with, the people you meet along the way that really keeps you involved? Or is it just the chase for Bigfoot? You don't care about the community, or maybe it's both.
Yeah, I'd say it's both. Like, you know, I definitely care about the search, and you know, that's a huge driver for me. But you know, the having great people that are in it with you know, really makes a difference, and it makes it a lot of fun. Like, that's one of my favorite things about like when we're filming the show, is just having, you know, kind of all the guys out together and just having a great time. So that makes it a lot better.
Wonderful. Season two of the show. You said you were excited about it when we first started talking. What do we have to look forward to?
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not 100% sure like where we're gonna go exactly, what we're gonna do. You know, in the next month or so, that'll all be locked in, I think. But yeah, we still right now we're still kind of in the sponsorship stage of you know, companies that want to do sponsorships with the show, and then we get all that kind of locked down, and then we roll into filming and where we want to go. So yeah, over the next few months, that should all be locked in, and then we'll get filming in the summer. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a few properties where we got some really good reports and stuff coming in, and we weren't able, kind of just the time didn't work out last season of going there. So I'm, you know, excited to hopefully this summer be able to work out some times where we stay there for a while and see what happens, because you know, a lot going on at some of these places. It's very exciting.
Is that just it? I go to one of these places and see what happens. If I wanted to try Bigfoot, or excuse me, if I wanted to try to find Bigfoot, or some layperson wanted to try to go out there and get a sighting, maybe have tea. I don't know what you do with Bigfoot. Run, is Bigfoot friendly? If I want answers to these questions and I'm just a regular Joe, what's my best bet in terms of having a sighting?
Yeah, your best bet is finding a place where people see them, or there's like a history of people seeing them. So that's kind of what we try to do. Like, we look for not just like reports being really close from different credible people, but also you know, if there's like a history of it that shows they're consistently in that area. So that's a huge helper. But yeah, well, so you know, and anyone that does want to see can tune into the show and see what we get up to. We'll be going and talking with a lot of different witnesses and going to some places where these type of reports are going on. And yeah, hopefully we find one this year. You know, that's always the goal.
Are you gonna trap it? Are you gonna put it in a cage? What are you gonna do? If you Bigfoot was in front of you, what would you do?
We might have to, you know.
Shoot
No,
it.
I'm just kidding. That would be bad. Yeah, I don't know. We're just gonna try to get the best video and documentation we can. I mean, a big goal of ours is to be able to get, you know, if we do see one, some DNA. So hopefully, we're able to find some hairs or something of you know, whatever we come across this season, because there's some DNA studies going on right now that some friends of mine are doing, and yeah, it's cool, but I would love to be able to contribute to that with something I found. So really just documenting the best we can. We don't want to hurt anything. Yeah, so that's the plan, but hey, maybe it eats all of us and we can't do that. So who knows?
It would be a poetic way to go, given your path and your interest.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, you'd die doing what you love, I guess.
He died as he lived, chasing Bigfoot, except this time Bigfoot was chasing him. If I wanted to find more about the show, more about you, where could I go?
Yeah, so the best place to go probably is sasquatchuniversity.com. If you've seen anything or want to get in touch with us, you can get in touch with us there. and you can, check out the show, see interviews we've done. Yeah, it's a great place to do that. And you can also go to wildtv.ca or Wild TV Plus and see the show itself. So both those places are great.
Ryan, thank you for coming. I appreciate your time and good luck to you.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's been great being here.
Let's leave it at that. And thank you for tuning in. If you made it this far, I really appreciate your time. I'll be back tomorrow with another show. And Dan Science Riskin will be joining me, and probably other people too. We'll see.